Well, last week, Alan shared with us the location of the story of the beginning of Mark's Gospel and its authorship, both in real time and place. He introduced the idea that to come and follow me was not an invitation simply to go for a walk with Jesus as one of his disciples, but to embrace Jesus' teaching as a rabbi, as one who spoke with power and authority, fulfilling the very prophecy that we heard this morning from Isaiah. I couldn't help smiling it when it was read after, Ranjini, you spoke about Hope House and thought about the kingdom of God breaking in here in the Yes development. Children, before I pray in a few moments, I'd like you to count how many times in the next few moments I use the word word or words, okay? You'll need both hands. Are you ready? And the adults can count authority or authorities. See how many times. Okay, have you got both your hands ready to count? It's word or words. Okay? Alan reminded us that God's word, the word that God used to create, the authoritative word of God had brought things into existence. That word was incarnate in Jesus. Jesus spoke with the authority which was present from the beginning of time. The authoritative word of Jesus was a word which knew what was needed and what was best for God's children. It was a word of liberation, a word of comfort, a word of release, a word of pardon, which Jesus spoke at the very beginning of his public ministry, that we find in verse 15. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus announced through his presence, God's kingdom is now present in the world. These were loud and clear words among the people because Jesus had the kind of authority of the present, of presence, which allowed people to believe that his kingdom was indeed God's kingdom. Okay, hold on to those numbers. Heavenly Father, please make your word alive to us this morning so that we might be the disciples of Jesus that you intend, writing your word in our hearts and not just in our heads, so that the presence of your kingdom is evident among us. Okay, children, put up your hand if you've got five words. At least five words. Fiona, how did you do? Five? Okay, well, Steve put his hand up because he's a big kid. But you're right, Fiona, so you've got 10, and then you got the bonus two in the prayer, did you? You did very well, 12 times. Excellent. And what about authority? Four. Yes, okay. Well, today I'd like to draw attention to kingdom and place. We notice places in today's reading from Mark's Gospel. First, Simon and Andrew's home, the whole town of Capernaum, an isolated or solitary place, and Galilee, a region. But where is the kingdom Jesus speaks about? Thank you. Children, look at the screen. What's this? Disney. Disney what? World or kingdom? I think it's kingdom in one state and world in the other, isn't it? Yeah, Disney kingdom. Okay, so what's a kingdom and how would I recognize one? There's a king? Okay. What did you have? All had porridge for breakfast, did you, this morning? Okay, well, let me help you out. So what do we associate with kingdom? Usually a territory. Maybe the first sign is a flag. We recognize this flag, don't we? We're coming to the UK and we see the Union flag, the flag of the United Kingdom. And then on the money, oh, here's this wearing a crown and on a coin. There's the queen with a crown. So that's another sign of the kingdom. And I wonder where she lives. Ah, the flag is flying, so she's in. What place is this, Noah? What place is this? Rebecca, she knows where it is. Windsor Castle, yes. One of the Queen's favourite places to be when it's not on fire or other things that's happened to it over the last few years. Yes, Windsor Castle, it's still standing there proud above the River Thames. But the Queen, she gives her authority away. She gives it to her government. Now, what is this place, Yona? It's a trick question. What is this place? Oh, yes and no. Pardon? The Palace of Westminster. So the Queen's authority is exercised in this palace. Now, what happens if you disagree and you do something you shouldn't do? You might end up here. What's this place? Pardon? The courts? Well, there's courts in Huntingdon. The Old Bailey. Well, I have Old Baileys. It's quite nice to drink Old Baileys. Yeah, but what is it? It's got another name. It's the Royal Courts of Justice. Yeah, where the Queen's authority is exercised on her behalf. So all these things tell us we're in the United Kingdom. If we drive off the Channel train on Thursday into France, the first thing we'll notice, if I've got any sense, is that I drive on the wrong side of the road. And all the signs are in French, and je parle un petit peu français, something like that anyway, you know. But some of the signs I'll recognise, and some of them I won't recognise. Everything French. And although France no longer has a king, we'll recognise the powers and authorities are different. We'll notice two sets of police and wonder what's going on here. And we'll keep our eyes on the road and keep going until we get to Germany. And then suddenly there's another flag and another kingdom. We know when we're in a kingdom, don't we? And as we look into Mark's gospel, I'd like you to think for a moment and notice, what are the signs of God's kingdom or the kingdom of heaven? So in verse 39, we read, Jesus was in Capernaum, teaching in the synagogue, staying at the home of Simon and Andrew. Now, does the kingdom of God announce itself in this ordinary home in Galilee? At Simon's house, his mother-in-law is sick. Notice in verse 31, if you have it open. No words are spoken by Jesus, but the simple cooperative action of Simon's mother-in-law, who takes his hand and sits up in bed, and she's healed. Something odd is going on there. The kingdom of heaven is breaking into this ordinary home without any words, but with a lot of cooperation and a desire in Jesus' heart. And have you noticed how often Jesus gave ordinary instructions to people who came to him who were sick or came on behalf of somebody else who was sick? And he would say things like, go home, stand up, roll up your bed and walk. He just spoke those ordinary words. But the Spirit was present with Jesus as he's present with us and empowered those ordinary words so that the kingdom of heaven could break in. And those listening, they recognize Jesus' authority. The evil spirits recognizes Jesus too, not only as the man from Nazareth, that was about 25 miles away from where he was then, but also as the Holy One of God. And on more than one occasion, Jesus told them, be quiet, we're not ready for that yet. The news is out. Jesus is a healer. And here we get some clues about the order and priorities of the kingdom of God and to the kind of discipleship that Jesus calls us. Having given us power and authority to act in his name that we can find at the end of Matthew, that's the one we remember most, isn't it? Go and do these things. When we act, there's a demonstration of the reality and presence of the kingdom of God. So when Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God, what should we be looking for when there's no obvious road signs or other immediate differences to indicate that you've now entered the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is present here, as he claimed it was there in Capernaum 2,000 years ago? When we come to a gathering of God's people, we should notice differences between how they relate to those around them. Open hearts, open homes, generosity in its broadest sense, loving our neighbour and our enemy. And after many are healed, the next day, Jesus isn't going around saying, whoopee. He spends time with his Father, our Heavenly Father, verse 35. And in this isolated place, which to everyone else looks empty, immediately Jesus turns up away from the bustle of this very busy, ordinary family in Capernaum, and the kingdom of God is present. Why? Because prayer is a communion with God. Now there's Jesus and his Father, no longer Jesus in an isolated place. It may be removed from that busy household, but it's filled with God's presence. The unseen reality of the kingdom of God manifests itself when the natural order of the world is reversed. Those things of the darkness are pushed aside to reveal the ultimate power and authority of the sovereign God. Blessing food 2,000 years ago saw thousands fed. Today, when Jesus' disciples in Ukraine pray a blessing over the food, thousands are fed, far more than the food that's on the table, as people come until everyone is satisfied. Just today. Well, it might have been the day before, but it might well happen again today, because Jesus' power and authority, his kingdom, is breaking in with his people. Prayer here over the years has seen children born and restored to health in direct opposition to the natural order of things here in Hemingford Grey. And as Ranjini gave a notice, I thought, yes, in Hope House, the kingdom of God is breaking in, a home for a homeless family, a welcome, an embrace, friendship. These things are very tangible demonstrations of the life-giving authority of the kingdom of heaven over the life-destroying kingdoms of the world. Today, we, as God's people, can often find miracles a stumbling block. Teaching about the words and works of Jesus is an academic exercise. And the places of solitude where we can meet the kingdom's king, crowded out by our busyness, so much so that our relationship with our Heavenly Father becomes so much like checking into church, a kind of religion. If there's nothing else going on Sunday, we'll go to St. James. You don't want empty religion, do you? You want fullness of life and the experience of God's kingdom on Monday morning as well, when how you relate to the boss is different from your colleague, because the grace of the Lord Jesus is upon you to demonstrate his kingdom and not the kingdoms of this world. You don't want a Victorian father, do you? You know, you show up when you have to, you know, and you kind of sit down and behave yourself and then hope he's off on business. You want Abba Father, the one that Jesus offers us, who welcomes us, who embraces us, who takes us and sits us on his lap and comforts us with his word and says, you're the most important. And by the way, I'm singing a song of you over you. Will you listen to that song? So the kingdom of heaven is present amongst us. Will you see it? Will you ask God to open your eyes to reveal it? And will you encourage one another to be those people who are generous, who when you've got no time at all, give it and see how God redeems it for you? You know, those times when someone really does just want to have a chat and you do this, or where, as Rosie tells me, sometimes if I'm coming to the end, my voice changes. You've probably noticed it, but I haven't. Yeah, how can we be loving, generous of people of God, to see his kingdom breaking in, his light dispelling the darkness, so that when people come into God's people, they too come to bow down and worship the King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see your kingdom, and may we cooperate with you to bring your kingdom of light and life into our world. Amen. And was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.